that you would give me half an hour, 40 minutes of your ears. I feel honoured to be able to speak in front of you and share what God has done with me. And my name's Phil. This is my son, Michael. my wife, Julie, couldn't be here. We're Hills people. We're just in Mount Helena. But we started a charity called Water for Africa. And this morning, I was sat with God and I'm thinking, what do you want me to share? And normally I would just come and share about Water for Africa. And I felt God say, no, I want you to share something different this morning. And really this morning it's my testimony. What have I got to offer you? All I can really offer you is what God has done with me. You know, I could go into a teaching and pull out Greek and Hebrew and it's all very good. And if I was a teacher, it would be really good, which I'm not. But what I can do is tell you what God has done with me. And if there was a heading for this morning, it would be hearing God. And it's the only thing we really need in life. So, as many of us, my walk with God also started in doom and gloom and disaster and God finding me. And I find myself in Australia, emigrated from the UK, and I find myself depressed. And I used to look at people who would say, I'm depressed, and I'd think, just shake yourself up. Come on. It's not that bad. And all of a sudden, I find myself depressed. And all I could describe it as, I'm at the bottom of a dry well looking up, and I can see the daylight, but I can't get out. And it's like I'm forever going round and going down and down and down. Everything I tried to do, I never felt good enough. Everything I tried to do seemed to go wrong. And I was just in complete despair. Julie didn't know what to do with me. The kids, we hid it from them most of the time, so they probably didn't know half of what went on in our lives. And I'd seen a little church. So I decided to go. Like many of us, we think, where else do I go from here? So I walked into a little church and I sat at the back and I just made my peace with God. I cried and I said, God, I need you in my life. What do I do with this life? It's unbearable. I don't know where to go, what to do, how I can go forward. And I didn't speak to anybody. I just sat at the back and pretty much cried through the service. And when the service was over, I got up to leave. And all I could describe was, there's hope. Where there was no hope, now there's hope. If you said, well, what happened? I have no idea. What had changed? I really don't know. But there's no longer depression, there's hope. And that led me to just start getting up every day. I'd set my alarm an hour early and I'd wake up and I'd just go and sit with him. I'd just go in a room or I'd lay on the floor and I would just try and block out the world. I'd get a hoodie and put it over my head and I'd block out the world and I'd just sit with God and start to talk to him and start to dream. And after not that long, he started to speak. You know, God speaks. We think that we've got it worked out. We think that we've got our lives worked out. But often God has a plan, but he will not come and tell you it. You must go to him and ask it. And this is what I found. You know, in John 10:27, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, God will never leave you or forsake you. But if you don't draw near to God, he's not going to draw near to you. And there's something in this. There's something in to drawing near to God, to crying out to God, to petitioning God for what he has got for you, not what you've got for yourself. And often it can be quite different. And what I found with God is he will walk with you to the amount you will allow him to walk with you. He won't push himself on you. He's a gentleman. His spirit is gentle. And he's actually wanting to take you and turn the world upside down in some sphere. But he's waiting for you. And often in our lives, we never give him that opportunity. We never give him the opportunity to turn us upside down and inside out so that we are his hands and feet. And this is what I found. So every morning I'd wake up and I'd cry out to God. I'd say, Lord, Lord, what's your will for my life? Not my will. I'm, at this point I was 42, 44. And I'm saying, God, you've brought me to you. What is your will for my life? What do you want from me? You've come and you've found me, and you've come and found me in depression, and you've saved me, and you've delivered me from it. But why? For what reason? Is it so that I can just get the best job and have a holiday home somewhere and go on the most holidays and drive the fastest car? Why? What is life really about? And every morning I'd get up and cry out, and every night I'd come home and I'd lock myself in my room and I'd cry out to God and I'd sit with him. And after 8 months, I heard God say something to me. In fact, it wasn't so much what he'd said to me, although in this period I'd heard God in many different ways. One time I even heard his audible voice, and I was driving and I looked round to see who was in the car, and there was no one there. And he said, you cannot serve two gods. So I'm walking this journey and all these things are happening around me, and I'm hearing God, and mainly in my heart. Don't get me wrong, I'm not hearing voices. I don't want you to think I'm walking around hearing voices, because I'm certainly not. But one day I saw something. I saw a statistic that one child dies every 15 seconds. I don't know where I saw it. Where? I didn't see it on the TV. God must have spoke this statistic into my heart somehow as I'm praying. And I started to think about it and I thought, geez, if that was in Mount Helena, I'd do something. I would. If it were my kids, I wouldn't let that happen on my watch. It was the most sobering thought, because these children became my children. Oy. You know this happened because I allowed God and I invited him. It didn't happen because I just attended a church. It happened because I started to pursue him. And these little children in Africa became my children. And I didn't know what to do. What do I do? I know nothing about water. I know nothing about drilling wells. What do I do? And I remember at the time I was in Riverview Church, and I went to one of the pastors. I said, do you know anything about drilling wells? Do you know anyone who's a driller? She said, I don't know, but I'll keep my eyes out. So I'm talking to Julie, my wife, and at that time, I attended a Monday night prayer group with Steve Wilkinson and PLJ. They were all in this. And none of us were doing anything at this point. But we were all in this little prayer group, and we'd come and we'd watch a video and we'd pray and we'd discuss things. And Julie said, go and tell everybody what you're going to do. I'm thinking, I can't do that. If I tell them what I'm going to do, I'm going to have to go do it, and I don't know what to do. This is madness. But she said, go tell them, because when you open your mouth, now you're putting legs to the faith that you've got. So I went, I said, guys, I know what I'm meant to do. And they all looked at me, what are you meant to do? I said, I'm meant to go to Africa and give people clean water and tell them about Jesus. And Rod was there and he said, that's the gospel. He said, we should have a whip round. That is the gospel, Phil. And I remember thinking, I'm so glad that's the gospel, because really, I don't know what I'm doing here. And that led to looking. What do you do when you need to know something? You Google, right? Well, my wife Googles. I'm not that crash up with these things. And you might share that feeling. I'm not that good on computers, and I don't actually own a computer. But so we Googled, and I found a man who was going to Africa, to Tanzania, from America, and he was giving people clean water, or at least that's what this website showed. So I sent an email, please, please let me come. Let me come to Africa. Let me just come and help. I've got the same thing burning inside me as what you're doing, and I just have no idea what I'm meant to do about this. Months went by. And then one day I got an email. He said, I'm really sorry I didn't reply sooner. I've been out on the field. But I don't take tourists. So go to Texas or somewhere like Texas where they do drilling camps and they teach you how to drill wells and put hand pumps in. Go and do a course and come back to me when you're going to be some use. So we Googled and we found this organization that drills all around the world and they give people clean water. And we contacted them and they said, yep, we've got a place in 6 months. I said, I can't wait 6 months. I'll die. This thing is inside me and it's going to explode. It's going to burst. I feel pregnant. Not that I know what a pregnant woman feels like, but I would imagine it's something where you think, this thing's got to come out. I remember my wife being near, you know, and looking, thinking, this thing's got to happen because you just can't get any bigger. It's physically impossible. You just can't. Anyway, a couple of days later, because God knows, I remember saying to God, I can't wait 6 months. You've put this burden inside me. I can't wait 6 months, Lord. It's cruel. The next day, I get an email. We don't know why we're offering you this, but we've got a cancellation. You have to be in Houston, Texas in 3 days. Julie says, we'll take it. I always remember we went to the travel agents and we sat down. I says, I need to be in Houston, Texas this time, and blah, blah, blah. She says, yes, yeah, that'll be $2,800, and we have one at $2,600, and I gulped and looked at Julie. I said, do you mind if we just have a cup of coffee and we'll decide which flight we want to take? I was just wanting to get out of there because I had about $2,600 in my account. That was it. And I get in the coffee shop, and I said, Julie, I cannot spend that money going to Texas. What will you do? What will the children do? How will you eat? How will you live? And she looked at me and she said, you've been praying for that long. God has done so many amazing things in your life. Don't you think we should give it a go? Wives with faith. Women of faith. Every good man needs a woman of faith. So we paid for the flight. And the next day I'm working away, and I'm going in about 2 days. I'm working away, and Julie rang me, and she's excited. She went, you'll never guess what, you'll never guess what, you'll never guess what. She said, $2,600 has gone into our bank account. And I'm working, I said, don't touch it, it's a mistake. Who sent that, where's that from? And she looked into it, and she went, it's some payment that we never received and we should have got, and it's right, it's ours, it's our money. And God gave me back the money for the flight. But first I had to step out. You know, faith, it jumps. When you hear God's voice and he gives you an instruction and you jump, all heaven will back you up. It's there. All heaven will back you up. The God who created the heavens and the earth, every insect, every person, the God of Moses that parted the sea, is the same God of you and me. He did it then. He will do it today. Really, he'll do it today. But his spirit looks to and fro across the earth for someone who'll say yes. He's looking for someone who said, God, God, send me, send me. He's looking for someone who'll get on the knees and pray and pray and pray until they hear his voice. And when you hear the voice of God, you can be the most ordinary person, but God will do miraculous things. So I'm flying into Texas to do my drilling course. And I'm on the plane, and we flew into all sorts of different places. I don't know, this plane seemed to go everywhere apart from where we were going. And it flew into LA. And as we're flying out of LA, I'm looking out of the window, looking for the Hollywood sign, thinking I might see it. You know, you see it on the movies, the big Hollywood thing on the hill, ba-ba, ba-ba. I'm thinking, I wonder if you can see Hollywood. And I'm looking at it, and of course you can't, but that's just my naivety. And as we're flying out, God starts to download a word. And I'm thinking, what's this? And there's a scripture, and there's a word, and it's a prophetic word for somebody. And God's said to me, I want you to give it to the church you're going to tomorrow. And I was going to the church of Joel Osteen. You've heard of Joel Osteen. He's a preacher, an American. He's got a church, and it's 30,000 people in this church, and it's a basketball stadium, and they fill it twice every Sunday, and it's amazing, and the police turn up to pull the cars in. And I'm sat on this plane going, this must be the voice of the enemy. It must be my imagination. Because why would God give me something to give to Joel Osteen, who's a household name around the world? Why would he give me something for this man? Me? Who am I? But God, he persisted. It wouldn't go away. So I wrote it all down on a piece of paper just to try and shut it out because I didn't understand what was going on. The next day I get picked up to get taken to this church and this lady, she goes round and collects all the waifs and strays, and she was collecting me on that morning, and I'm sat next to a girl who's quacking like a duck and a boy in the front who's barking like a dog, and I'm thinking, where am I? I'm jet lagged, and we get to this service and it's amazing church. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And they give us a special seat right near the front, and I enjoy this service, and I'm thinking, this is wonderful. And then the lady who picked me up, she went, quick! And she grabs my hand, and off we go. We're running through this church, and through all these corridors, and we get to this line, and she texts me, and I'm about three from the front, and there was someone stood in the line. She went, oh, you're here? And she steps out of the line, and they push me in the line, and I'm looking, I'm going, what are we doing? Where are we going? What's going on? I should probably be in bed about now. I'm all over the place. And she said, you're going to meet Joel. Oh. Really? I don't know whether I want to meet Joel. So I get nearer and nearer and nearer. And I get in front of him. And I look at him and I go, come. And he takes my Bible and he puts his autograph in it. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Well, of course, people are going and they want to get an autograph on a book and, you know, bless my baby. And I looked at him, I went, just passing through and your church is wonderful. And he said, yeah, he's thinking, what do you want? I'm going, I said, God gave me a word for you. And there's all these people want to see you. But I wrote it on a piece of paper. I said, the only thing is, if I give you it, do you promise me you'll read it? And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, I promise, I'll read it. I said, then I feel free, I feel released. Why do I say that? Because God can put you anywhere in front of anybody and do anything with you. It's the truth. So I get back from Texas. I did my drill course and I send an email. Well, Julie did. I dictated Julie. Right, because she's good like that. And I get a one-liner back. Meet me in Kilimanjaro Airport this day, this time. I thought, this thing's crazy. God's insane. Where's he leading me and what's he doing with me? He's sending me to Texas and I'm stood in front of Joel Osteen 1 minute and then I'm going to Kilimanjaro Airport. Where's Kilimanjaro Airport? This day, this time. I always remember Julie dropped me at the airport. And I looked at her, I said, what if this man doesn't even exist? She said, she's fighting back the tears. She says, well then have a holiday and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Go. And I always remember arriving in Kilimanjaro Airport, and it was a little ramshackled airport, probably built by the Germans or the British or someone years ago, and they've sort of tried to revamp it. And we landed. And, of course, in Tanzania, you've got to get your money in the country. You can't get your money out of the country. Nobody deals in their currency. So I get off the plane, and I get my bags, and I come through, and there's the change place. So I walk across, and I had $500. And again, like the first flight, I paid for it, and God gave me all the money back. And I had $500, and I thought, I don't know whether this is enough, but it's 2 weeks. That's it. I give him my $500. Out comes this big wad of money. I'm trying to stuff it in my pockets and I'm putting it in my bag. And I look round and it looks like everybody's looking at me. You know when you go to the airport and it's all Mr. So-and-so, and they're all waiting for you. Well, that's where I was, and I'm stuffing this money in my pockets and in my bag, and everybody's looking at me. I'm thinking, oh, maybe that were a mistake. Right. And I go and stand, and I'm waiting, and this guy's not showing up. And it's way past when he's meant to be there, and it's getting dark, and I'm stood there, I'm thinking, what on earth do I do? Where am I? What am I doing? Every time the conveyor belt went off for the bags, all the lights go out in the airport, and I'm stood with my back against the wall, because all my money's in my pockets at the back, and I'm stood and I'm thinking, this is terrifying. Because every time the lights go out, I think I'm about to get mugged, because everybody's looking at me, because I've got these big bricks of money in my pocket. Yeah. And eventually I hear, Phil! Larger than life Texan. Phil, is that you? I'm like, thank God you're real. And you know, we went off in his truck, and I saw people with a saucer, and there'd be a dry riverbed, and they'd dig a hole as big as a car, and there'd be a bit of water, and he'd get a little saucer, and he'd be ladling it in a bucket. I saw people drinking water from the most disgusting, dirty places you've ever seen in your life. And all of a sudden, I knew why I were there. I knew why I'd come. And I travelled, I just said to this man, I said, every time you come, I'm going to come. As long as God allows it, I'm going to come. And I'm going to come and serve you and your ministry. And I did that for 4 years, and then one day he drives me to the airport, as he always did, and we sat there, and I'm about to check in. He said, I've got something to say. I went, yeah, what, Lance, what? He says, I'm not coming back. That was it. You know, God will use adversity in all our lives if we'll allow him. He'll use the rubbish in our lives to turn us around. He'll use situations that we think are unfair if we will see God in them, and he'll polish them and bring the most amazing things from them. And I remember going home to Julie and saying, it's not fair. What's that about? I've been going for 4 years. I've served this man diligently. What on earth is that about? Are we finished? And as I sat with God, I felt him pick up a baton and say, it's yours if you want it. Do you want it? So we decided to pick up the baton. We decided to take the baton. We decided, God's giving me the baton. I'm going to run with this thing. You know, the Bible, it says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, they hear my voice. That's us. Whether we're hearing his voice is irrelevant, because my sheep hear my voice. And I would just encourage you. Some of you will be saying, I know, Phil, I hear God's voice. Well, humour me, because some people might not be. But if we will hear God's voice, there is nothing that God cannot do with us. There's nothing. We look at nations that are in distress and in a mess, and if people would hear God's voice, we could change it. So simple. All the things that are going wrong in the world, they're not a problem to God. If you'll hear his voice, maybe he will use you to change things. Legislation that's wrong. There's all sorts of things that as Christians we don't like and we disagree with. And if you'll hear his voice, he can use you to change it. And it's simple. And it's not hard. And nothing can stand in your way. You know, I can only share parts of my testimony with you this morning, because we've got half an hour, 40 minutes. There's so much. In fact, I wrote in my journal one day, I said, this God is ridiculous. It seems like he does miracles every day. And he wants to do miracles every day. And he wants to be the God of Moses to you. And he wants to part the Red Sea. And he wants the walls of Jericho to fall down. And all the things that happened in the Bible that we think are for today, they are for today. They really are. Julie was. We were out in Tanzania a couple of trips ago, and our lady got a hearing. She'd been deaf since been a little girl, and it was Julie's birthday, and Julie said she was just praying, and God says, "What would you like for your birthday?" And she said, "Oh, I'd like to heal someone. I'd love to be able to pray for someone and they get healed." And he said, "What, like someone deaf?" And she went, "No, well, I thought we could start me a sore back or a, you know, a crook ankle or a," and she said, "something like that, Lord." And we were doing a crusade, an outreach, and she got a word, "Anybody with asthma, come. If you've got asthma, if you've got breathing difficulties, come, come, God's going to heal you." And she had these three ladies in front of her, and there was two of them, and she prayed, and, you know, breathing difficulties. And then this lady came, and she's praying for her, and she's watching this lady thinking, "What's going on here? This is a bit odd." And so she gets the pastor to interpret. This lady, she's sort of looking at me funny, and what's going on? She's deaf. Julie went, no, we're not doing deaf. We're doing breathing problems. She says, "Yes, she's got asthma as well." "Oh, right." And, you know, Julie, she just felt God say, "Put your fingers in her ears." She went, "Oof, do I have to? Okay." And command the spirit of deafness to come out of her. So Julie just went, "Spirit of deafness, come out of her." And the girl wriggled on the floor. She was writhing and wriggling. And Julie looked and she says, "I felt so sorry for her. The dignity." And she says, "You stop that." And the girl stopped instantly. And she got up and she was perfectly. Her ears opened. And God wants to do it today. You know, we get shrouded. We live in a land of blessings. Or we think the blessings. We live in a land of prosperity. And we think it's a blessing. And sometimes it's a curse because we get so encapsulated in our own lives. And how many of us will start the day and we're good people, and we are, and we get to the end of the day and you're laying your head on your pillow and you think, "Lord, I never thought about you once. I'm so sorry." How many times do we do it? We do it all the time, right? "Lord, I never even thought about you. I haven't prayed today." And God wants our first. He wants our hearts. He just wants our hearts. Really, he wants your heart. He wants my heart. And when you give it to him, and when you give it to him with everything that you've got, no bars hold, then you'll hear him. You'll hear his voice. And he might just change the world with you, because that's what he wants to do. He really does. I'll give you a last little testimony. Where are we at with time? What time are we up to? I was out in Africa, and I went out in cover. Yeah, well, you asked for it. Yeah, but 3:30, are we okay? If you need to leave, you know, you're welcome. Just tell me when you've had enough. I mean, I've got that many stories that just go on, and the boggled my mind anyway. So I'm out, and it's COVID time, and I got permission to go and come back, and so I'm out there, and my flight got cancelled. It got cancelled loads of times, anyway. And my flight gets cancelled, so I'm sat there, and it's Sunday. I went, "Well, Lord, you knew my flight was going to get cancelled. What am I doing here? What do you want me to do?" And he said, "The manager, Nestori, who's the manager of Water for Africa in Tanzania, he's my guide. The first trip I went on, I met Nestori, and he's like my African son. He's just the most beautiful young man." He says, "His church is having an outreach. I want you to go." I went, "Okay, I'll go." So I turn up unannounced, because when you're in Africa and you're the only white person, and all of a sudden they want you to stand on the stage, and then they want you to say something, and it's like, I just want to go at the back and hide behind a bush and let them do what they're doing. They don't need me. I'm not the answer to anything. They don't need me. So I turn up, and I've stood at the back, and I'm watching. They'd built this little stage in the next village, and it were really roughshod, and they'd put some little ribbons on it, and it were really crummy. and they'd got some speakers from somewhere and they were really rubbish. And they put their heart and soul into it. They prayed 24/7 for about a month before. People, even with kids, took time off and they would go and they would pray non-stop for a month before. And even Nestori's wife, she's got three young children, she's there and she's on the prayer team and she's interceding for the people in the next village. And what they did was rubbish, but their hearts, oh my, they were so dedicated and they just wanted to share about Jesus to the next village. And I'm stood watching it and I just felt God say to me, the harvest is ripe and the labourers are few. And I went, Lord, it's so true. People are waiting to be, you know, people are waiting to be asked to know Jesus. We think it's a big deal. Often if you'll just put your foot forward, you'll find that people aren't so resistant. And some people are just going, well, why didn't I ever know about this? Sometimes it's like taking candy off a baby and you think, how easy was that? Anyway, so I'm stood there and God's just speaking. I'm just leant against a tree and I'm watching these people put everything into it. And God says that the harvest is ripe and the labourers are few. And I go, yes. He says, and then he said to me, but look at my labourers. He was showing off to me. He's going, look, just look. How amazing are these people? And I'm stood there, I'm going, they are, Lord. They really are because they just love you first. They've put you first. They're amazing. And then he said, help them. I'm stood leaning on this tree. I'm thinking, what does that even mean? Help them. What do you want me to do? Help them. How can I help them? What do you want? So I'm driving back and I'm talking to God and I'm perplexed and I'm thinking, what do you mean? And then I had a vision of a truck. A big truck, and it'll pull into a village. And the bottom part goes like this, and the top part goes like this, and there's everything on this truck that you could imagine. There's a keyboard, there's a guitar, there's speakers, there's microphones, there's a generator in case if we're in the middle of nowhere. Everything, it's all there. So I got back to Australia, and I said to Julia, I think we've got to get a gospel truck. I think God wants to equip the body of Christ in Africa to go and do it better. And when you're sat in your mud hut in Africa, eating your ugali and beans, and this amazing truck goes past, and then you hear this amazing sound, you're going to go and have a look, right? You're going to go, what's that? Well, I recognize the music, but what's going on? So everybody comes down to the truck. And the church now can do it really well. It's a massive draw card. So I said to Julie, we need a truck, we need a gospel truck. What does that look like? And she went, as you do, some of you ladies who are dead smart, I've sent the ask. I got up the next day, Joyce Meyer Ministries, yep, we'll give you the money, go buy the truck. So today we have a truck. And when it's dry season, the church just come and say, we want your truck, please. We're doing an outreach. Could we have it? And we send the truck free of charge with a sound technician and with a driver. And last year, that truck saw 1,500 people say yes to Jesus. It saw 5 churches planted last year alone. How crazy is that? God's waiting for us. God is waiting for us. Really. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for you to cry out to him and say, God, what is my life about? And don't ever think you're too old because you're not. But God, what is my life about? Am I fulfilling all that you've got for me? Am I doing everything that you want for me, Lord? It might not be that you're going to go to Africa. But don't think God ain't got something for you. He really has. And when you become a Christian, it's not about just sitting in a church. It's about being a son of God. And he gave me this picture. You have a shepherd and he has lots of sheep. And they're all following him. And there he is, Jesus, walking. And we're all behind him. The ones back here can't hear his voice. Are they following him? Yes, they are. Are they Christians? Yes, they are. They're still following him. But the way back, all they can hear is what everybody else is saying. And that can be a bit like Chinese whispers. You know, you start at one end and say, I'll have a cup of coffee, and you stand here and someone brings you a cup of tea. But the ones that are with Jesus, this is where the magic happens. Honestly, magic for use of a better word. But this is where it happens. When you hear his voice, oh my gosh, there's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing. And in our country, in Australia, in Europe, often we go, what I read in the Bible don't match up to what I'm seeing. I read about healings and miracles, but God, I don't quite see him. And let me tell you, the magic happens when you are with him. And as he's walking, you're the one that's rubbing shoulders with him. You're the one that's ear is open to his mouth. You're the one. And really, how do we have an excuse that we don't hear his voice? How do we have an excuse to say, but I didn't hear your voice? He'll say, but all you have to do is come and stand near me. Come close. Draw near. Listen. Sit. You know, for me, I sit and I block the world out. And I'll just start talking to him. And when it gets quiet enough, he starts talking back. And I might see something play out in my mind. Whoa. I might hear something. He might say something to me. The things he said are incredible. The way he's led me in my life has been incredible. And I don't say, please, don't ever look at the speaker, because who are we? I'm just another bloke. But he used my depression to make me look and listen, to make me cry out to him, to make me start walking with him, to make me start listening to him. He used the bad things in my life to open me up to him, to make me recognize him. So Water for Africa, you know, it's by the grace of God. Last year we saw, I think it was 13,000 people come to know Jesus. 5 churches were started. We drilled 31 new boreholes and gave people clean water. We saw, we repaired 185 wells. We started, by God speaking, we started a farm that is growing 40 acres of avocados to become a self-sustaining NGO. In the past years, we take doctors and nurses into hospitals. The things that God does are incredible. They blow my mind every year. I look at the stats and it blows my mind at what God has done, because we just say yes. Will it cost you everything? Yes. But what are you giving up, really? What is he asking you for, really? Nothing. And will he provide everything you need? Yes. 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 I think I'll just play the clip, but let me tell you about Michael. Before I was a Christian, and as I'm walking with God, so I'm going in and out of Africa, in and out of Africa all the time, 3 times a year, spending lengthy periods there. And I'd always promised my boys that I'd buy their first car. When I was a business, I'm going to buy your first car, and we'll put a stereo in it, and we'll make the speakers loud, and we'll do all these things that dads and sons do. Well, I'm lucky enough to have 3 boys, but Michael's a twin. So here I am walking with God. Nothing in the pocket. And my boys go, Dad, we've passed our tests. Of course they have, the twins. We need a car. Of course you do, that's 2. And I cried out, I said, Lord, I promised. I've got nothing, but I promised. And the boys need a car, what do I do? And within a week, I got given some money. And I said, Pray. Ask God for the car you want. Tell him what you'd like, and then we'll look for it. So Joel wanted a Golf, a Volkswagen Golf, and tinted windows and a stereo and alloy wheels. I went, yep, and God brought the car. Michael, precious Michael, he says, I'd like a Mini. Not a new one, an old one. I says, great, be specific, God's big. He said, it's got to be red with a white roof. Okay, great. You know, we looked everywhere for a Mini. Forget the colours, we just looked for a Mini. And we couldn't find anything. And we came across a guy and he's got a shop somewhere. And he says, what are you looking for? Well, we would like a Mini for my son. He wants a Mini. He went, nothing about. He said, I'll tell you what, I do have a shell that someone put in my shed years ago. He says, when it went in there, it was quite good condition, so it probably still should be. And I'll put you this engine in, and I'll put you this brakes on. And if you like it, I'll make it into a really good car, a really good something that your son can use. He says, come back on Wednesday and I'll put this shell on a trailer and I'll bring it for you. So off we go and we come back and there's this shell. It's got no doors, got nothing in it. It's just this piece of metal like that. It's covered in dirt and Michael goes up to it and he's looking and he starts rubbing it. He goes, Dad, it's red. I'm like, really? So he's rubbing. He goes, it's got a white roof. And Michael got a red Mini with a white roof. And God cares. God cares. He's just wanting to take your hand and he's just wanting to walk with you and he's wanting to do life with you and he's wanting to blow your mind because he's God. He is the God of Moses that parted the Red Sea and he is the God of you. So I want to encourage you, whatever you do, hear his voice. It's the only thing that really matters in life is hearing God, knowing what he created you for. You know, before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you and he formed you and he created you. And there is a purpose. There's always a purpose. I just encourage you, find out the purpose. Just sit with him and it might take 6 months and it might take a year, but just sit with him and find out your purpose because you will be the most fulfilled you've ever been and God will use you and he'll take a pebble and he'll slay a giant with you because that's what he does. He's an amazing God. So I want to thank you for letting me come and speak to you. If you read, I wrote my testimony out and we give them away free these days. So if you've got, can you work a computer? If you go on waterforafrica.com.au and ask for a book, if you search on there and it'll ask you for your address and we'll post one out to you if you'd like. It's our testimony. It goes into more in-depth and shares about the work we do and it'll encourage you to walk your journey with God. And do we have the video? If we could play the video on then. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Thanks for having me. And just follow his voice.